All right. Thank you, Lord. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we just thank you for all of your precious promises, Lord. They're so good to us. We ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would bring to remembrance all things that you have said to us in the past, Lord, and to defend us against the works of the devil, the curses of this world. That's what your word does for us, Lord. We thank you that you put this word in our hearts, Father, to defend us, that it's a shield of faith and a sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praise you, Father. Help us to fight the good fight of the faith and to lay hold on life. That's life indeed. And we thank you, Father. Guide us through your word. Guide us through your revelations. Give us those revelations and draw us as your disciples, Father, into that image of your Son, Jesus Christ, daily. And Father, we ask that you place it in our hearts to do that obediently every morning, to ask you to fill us up with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that overcoming power that we need daily to walk through this world. And we praise you for it, Father. Be with us tonight. Bless us tonight. Anoint us tonight to do and to say the things that you'd have us to say. Father, we know that you have a great plan ahead of us, and we want to be prepared. And the only way we can be prepared, Father, is if you fill us up and talk to us and put it in our hearts to continually seek you day in and day out for those answers that we need. We thank you, Father, for the answers you've already given us. The one you gave us today, Lord, which was an awesome one. And we thank you for it, Father. And we ask that you have grace and mercy on us tonight, and let your gifts be flowing in among us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request? Hey, Dave. Hey, Joe. Joe D. All right. Anybody? Hey, Marilyn, go ahead.
Great. I just got a text from one of my contacts here in town, and asking for prayer for one of the young people here in town. He's somebody I've met through the food bank. I know a little bit about him. He's probably early 30s. He's got a couple of little kids. He's been in the Navy, but he doesn't work, and he's on some kind of disability, I think, for mental issues. But I also know that he can be a hard worker, because when Barry shows up with the truck of food at the food bank, if he's there, he's very, very good at helping. And so anyway, and I know that they came up from Texas. They lost everything in the big hurricane that hit Texas about 2 years ago, and just wiped out everything they owned. And I think also his father has passed away just within the last year. So I know he's been, when I see him, he usually puts on a pretty good front and seems to be doing okay. But I know that he tried to commit suicide at Christmas, but he wasn't successful. And the text that I just got from my friend is that he's posting on Facebook that he's going to commit suicide. And so, Lord, I lift Stephen up to the throne of grace. Lord, I've been praying for Stephen since I met him, and I know that you love him, and I know that you preserved him when he tried to commit suicide back at Christmas. And because we pray every night that you not let any of your elect die unsaved. And so, Lord, we're just thankful that you hear our prayers and answer them. But, Lord, we lift Stephen up to you in faith. We believe in your mercy and your loving kindness, that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, and Stephen's just a little lost sheep. And Lord, he's got children, and he's got a wife that love him. And I believe that you've got a good plan for Stephen's life, that you're going to make him, even like Stephen in the book of Acts, a man full of faith and doing signs and wonders and miracles. So we just we bind up and cast down all these tormenting spirits in Stephen tonight, all the depression, all the darkness, all the hopelessness, all the spirits of suicide and death. We command all that stuff out of him and away from him in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lord, I thank you that for bringing Stephen to Klickitat. And I'm thankful, Lord, that we can pray for Stephen tonight, believe for Stephen tonight, that you know this heaviness and depression and oppression and hopelessness are gone in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you'll draw Stephen to you by the power of the Holy Spirit, enlighten the eyes of his understanding by the power of the Holy Spirit, grant unto him the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation of the knowledge of Christ. Lord, keep a hedge of protection around him. Lord, by faith, I believe that he's coming into the kingdom. And I pray, Lord, that you would be a shield around him and a lifter of his head. Help him to get his eyes off of self and just whatever this is. This is just self as well. It's flesh and demons. And Lord, shake him up. Shake him out of this mess and wake him up. Let him get his eyes on Jesus, Father. And Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for protecting Stephen. And I'm also praying and believing that the cops aren't going to be called tonight, that you're just going to bring him out of this. I see this, Father, more than anything, if he's talking about it, as a cry for help. And maybe even attention. We bind up any attention seeking spirits and spirits of manipulation and control and Jezebel. And Lord, Stephen needs to work. It's not good for these young people to be laying around on disability when they are physically capable of working. And I pray that you're going to provide some work for Stephen, because I think that he's got way too much time on his hands to think about himself and self-pity. And so, Lord, we bind all that up. And, Lord, we retain a spirit of repentance and faith for Stephen. We pray, Lord, you would forgive his sins and draw him to you. And he's, by faith, Lord, he's one of the redeemed. And I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we just put our faith together with Marilyn and Barron. We believe that you're going to do a miracle in Stephen. We thank you, Father, for getting him out of this turmoil that he's in. And Father, we thank you that you've already bound up all of the spirits that are tormenting him. We thank you, Father, for clarity of thought. And Lord, we ask and we pray that you send somebody that he'd listen to with the gospel of God, with the gospel of Jesus, with the real good news, Lord, that he would listen and understand that he needs you more than he needs anything else. More than he needs this check every month from the government. More than he needs anything, he needs you. And Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, and we're going to see a good testimony about Stephen very shortly. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Why is he on disability? Has he got some kind of a physical handicap?
I don't think it's physical. I think it's, okay. I don't know if it's something that happened in the Navy, some kind of post-traumatic stress thing or what. But I do know that he's on disability. And I also just remembered his wife. He's got two little kids and his wife is pregnant. So, Lord, he's got everything to live for. And I pray you remind him of that.
Amen.
And I pray for his wife, because it's got to be hard on her. and give her strength and let her cry out to you as well, Father. Bring her into the kingdom as well. And we pray and believe this in Jesus' name. Amen.
What's her name?
I don't remember what her name is.
Okay. Wife, Mrs. Stephen.
Wife, Mrs. Stephen.
Okay. Praise God. Lord, thank you for blessing both of them. In Jesus' mm-hmm. name. And that someday we'll see him right here. Jesus' mm-hmm. name. All right.
Amen.
I believe it's done.
I do too.
Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? How about a testimony? How about a praise report? Yeah, Missy.
The other day, my sister sent me an email, and she was really upset and bothered by a dream that she had. I won't go into details and all, but anyway, I told her to give me a call later, you know, and she called me, and we talked for quite a bit, and there were some things that I saw that she needed deliverance from, and I shared things of my own experiences and all, and she was open. You know, she had told me that about 2 months ago, like, it was like, you know, it was pretty amazing. I was explaining to her about, I didn't use the word demons or anything like that. I just used the word spirit and evil spirits and stuff like that. And then she said that 2 months ago, it was like all of a sudden, like nowhere out of the blue, or it's just like this. It's like something possessed her or something, and she just had this like, trying to remember what she said, this feeling of how'd she say that, like her life was like meaningless. She had no goals in life, and that I forget exactly how she said it, but you know, what I got out of it was condemnation and rejection and all. And but anyway, so I did, I prayed with her and commanded like four spirits to go and stuff like that. And so, you know, right before I got off the phone, I said, "Do you feel better?" She said, "Yeah, a little bit." And then, later she had texted me, we were texting a couple different things. I would send in her some songs and stuff. And she says, "By the way, I feel better." So praise the Lord. The Lord's really doing them. I'm just like so, so tickled, because I've been saying to the Lord, you know, it's like, okay, Lord, I'm bored. I need something to do. you know, it's like, you know, wanting to be around other, you know, people that I can talk to the Lord about and everything. And it's like right now, she's just like an open book. She is just, I can tell she's receiving what I'm saying to her. And I said to the Lord, I said, the other day, Marilyn and I were praying about something. And one of the things I said was, "Lord, please get us all ready quickly. Get your bride and your man child ready, and put everything in place quickly, and not your quickly, our quickly. Please do this." I said, I want that anointing to go and do the things and be what I could never be without it, you know? But it's like, I'm just like so encouraged getting to talk to my sister and share with her my experiences, and to pray with her, and I'm just like, wow, I'm just so excited because, you know, my sister and I have never been close. She was 5 years and 9 months behind me. And it's just amazing. I'm just really tickled. Praise you, Jesus. Gives me you know, something else to focus on and pray about, and I'm going to be with her on Friday helping her do some things. And so Father, I just praise you and thank you that, Lord, that we're going to have an awesome time in you, Lord. And she's Lord, you know her, you know she's the nut of the family, the clown of the family, and she does and says goofy things. She's lighthearted in that respect, Lord. And I'm finding out from her just the little things that she says, Lord, that she really has a soft heart, Lord. And I just praise you, Lord, for that. And I just thank you for blessing our time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Is that your sister, Cindy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Missy, didn't we pray for her daughter the other day? Does she have a daughter?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe you did. I mean, actually, I asked Cindy if Haley had ever repented and believed in the Lord, and she said that she did. And my mom, there was something my mom told me a while back, and I didn't think that she had, by something that my mom said. But anyway, I wanted to get some more details on that or whatever. Find out what the scoop is with what it was that my mom told me. But anyway, Cindy had a dream that Haley died, and I spoke to her about that, you know, and I was trying to see if it was just a pure attack of the enemy or if it was just a parable, and I think it was just an attack from the enemy. I don't think there was a parable in that. And so I just prayed against that, and I reassured her, you know, that wasn't going to happen, and we cast that all down and everything, and so commanded fear off Cindy and everything. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for answers to prayer.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for giving Missy something to do. In Jesus' name. Keeping her busy. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Leah. Yeah, go ahead.
There you go. I'm unmuted now. Okay. let's see. I had some sin in my life, and I repented of it to the Lord. I'm not going to go into the sin, but I repented of it to the Lord and asked for his forgiveness, of course, and I felt like it was forgiven. But at the meeting last night, David was talking about some issues, and I just felt like the Lord wanted me to confess it to the body. So I did that. I mentioned to them the same thing that I just mentioned to you, that I repented, and I felt like the Lord forgave me, but I wanted to confess it so it was out in the open. And so I felt like that was pretty good. And then I got a note from David today that said there was no sin in the camp, basically. And I was really blessed by that. And they've been using me in the dreams as a person of interest who represents the Lord. If you listen to the broadcast, they mention my name quite frequently as representing the Lord, you know, so that condemns me like really bad. I was condemned anyway, but that condemns me really bad. But I appreciate that, because that says to me also that the Lord does forgive me. So,
yeah, oh, man,
I just wanted to share with you guys, if you've got some sin, confess it. Confess it. No matter what it is, confess it, and find somebody that you can be honest with, and confess it. Okay, amen. That's all.
Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, I'm going to say something cool. I'm going to show you something cool here. Now, these three boys, can y'all see them? Those three boys, that represents four generations of my family. The two in the back there is Jude and Booger Ray. And then there's Hayes out in front there. He's my great-grandson. The other two are my grandson. So I thought that was kind of cute. They were all over at my granddaughter's this afternoon. So they took pictures and sent them to me. I ain't too proud. I don't mind showing them to you. I love my kids. Anyway, I just thought y'all might like that. They're getting all Christmassified over there, which is okay, I guess. They're Baptist. All right, anybody else? Now, Thursday night is Thanksgiving, and I thought we'd just have praise and worship that night and praise God for all the things he's done for us that, you know, up to this point. Be a good thing. Is that all right with everybody? Because I'm going to be full. I don't know about y'all. I'm going to be so full. Glory to God. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Denny, go ahead.
Did you say Booger Ray?
Booger Ray, yeah, that's my nickname for Nate.
Nate, okay.
All right. Nickname. Yeah, no, they wouldn't let me officially name him Booger Ray, so I had to just settle for a nickname. I guess I ought not to call him that. It might curse him. I don't know. But he's a booger. Yeah, he's a booger. But anyway, something else is I was thinking about before I start talking about Booger Ray. Julie sent me a thing from Mina Graben. I haven't read it yet. If I can find it. Yeah. If y'all would like for me to read it, it's her latest prophecy, Watchman on the Wall prophecy. Do y'all want to hear it? I haven't even read it yet. I thought I'd just go ahead and share it with you. It's not that long. Now, everybody know who Minna Lee Graben is. She's a pre-tribulation rapture gal, and she gets mixed up with her things that the Lord gives her, and she keeps griping to the Lord, I'm not going to be here when all this stuff happens, Lord, you know, that kind of business. And he just laughs at her and gives her another one. Anyway, she'll come to the truth eventually. This is called The Lukewarm Church Will Be Left Behind to Worship the Beast. Last week, I was given a powerful dream regarding the lukewarm and apostate church. In the first scene, I found myself standing on a lawn that was cut into a perfect square. The lawn was next to a brick house. I would even say that the lawn was part of the property of the house itself. I was standing on one end of the square, and directly across from me on the other side stood Obama. The distance between us was about 30 feet or so. At first, Obama had his usual charming smile on his face. He greeted me with a wave and a nod. I watched as he casually walked over to the brick house, went up the stairs, and rung the doorbell. He stood there for a while before he realized no one was answering. And I knew within myself that he would not be allowed in. Obama then walked back down the stairs, returned to the opposite side of the square. His face began to change before me. He spoke and said, "I cannot cross the lawn because it's hallowed ground." I continued to watch as his eyes began to change and grow fiery red. His gaze was fixed on me, and I watched as the evil began to grow inside of him. Suddenly, I began to ascend up into the sky. Obama's evil gaze never left me as I went up and up towards the clouds. I continued to watch him below when I saw wings begin to appear out of Obama's back. One wing stretched out, and then another. They were bat's wings. He began to flap them vigorously as he lifted off the ground, and for a split moment, I felt fear. But then I ascended up into the clouds where Obama was no longer in sight. He could no longer see me, and I could no longer see him. The scenes changed, and now I'm standing outside of a church. The building was rather large and whitewashed. There were multiple entries, but there were no doors. I had the understanding that a wedding was taking place, but I never saw a bride nor a groom. The inside of the church was packed with people to the point where there was standing room only, and everyone was dressed in white. Praise the Lord. I noticed that although there were people of all cultures and backgrounds attending, it seemed that the majority were middle-aged and the young, as in young adults. Everyone was laughing, talking, and greeting one another. As I continued to observe the people from the outside, I began to pay closer attention to the attire they were wearing. Although everyone was dressed in white, I noticed that their clothes were not appropriate for church nor a wedding. Uh-oh. Some people had on clothes that looked more for a nightclub or a party. People were dressed in t-shirts, halter tops, holy pants, miniskirts, and tights. I decided to walk further up the side of the church to another entrance near the front where the speaker or pastor would be. I remained outside and never stepped a foot in. When I arrived at the other entrance, I looked in, and to my surprise, I saw Obama standing at the podium. He was dressed in a bishop's attire. His head was bowed towards the podium as if he was about to read something. I had a side view of him and noticed that someone was standing right next to him on the other side. Obama shifted his position slightly, and I saw that it was, excuse me, and I saw that it was Pope Francis. He too was dressed in the same attire. My dream ended. When I awoke, the Lord immediately began to speak to me. "The apostate church," he began. "Yes, Lord." "The apostate church is the lukewarm church. They will worship the beast and his false prophet. I will blind their eyes and they will receive a deceiving spirit. Warn my children. Warn them to turn to me while there is yet still time. For time is running out and soon night comes when no one can work. Seek me while it is yet still day, for soon my angels will blow the trumpet, and I will call my bride unto me. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb, whose robes are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Behold, I come quickly." Okay, does everybody understand what she's talking about? Now, I know what she's thinking, but does everybody know what she really is talking about? She's talking about the anointing of the bride and the man-child is fixing to come. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We can only shout hallelujah, can't we? Amen. That's a good one. She's got a bunch of scriptures there, too. You can go to her site, which is Watchman on the Wall, and check that out. Yeah, Leah.
You notice there was no bride or groom.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's important. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, then I have to ask the proverbial question. How come that's important? Leon, I'm asking you. Or anybody, as far as that goes.
Wait till I get my mouth full, then ask
you. Okay. Sorry about that.
Well, that's all it's going to be taken. It's not going to be the people. It's going to be the bride and the groom, those that are filled with the Spirit and walking in the paths of the Lord.
So, amen. That's going to be the anointing, isn't it?
Yeah. The man-child would be the bride, or would be the groom in this case, and the bride would be the bride, and they're not there, so they can't teach the people how to make it into heaven. So that's important.
Mm-hmm. I guess I didn't follow you, but go ahead. All right, anybody else? I'll tell you one thing, and I will say this. No, I won't either. Maybe I'll do it later. Maybe I'll do it later. Okay. Has anybody got anything else? And there was silence.
I gotta say thanks for coming for me Saturday. We got here and moved back, so.
Okay.
Appreciate that. Thanks for the prayers.
Amen. Glad to have you. Well, Patrick just emailed me the other day and said that he was going to be gone for 2 weeks going down to Florida to see family and friend down there. So I don't think he's going to be able to get on at that time. I'm not sure, but we'll see. Going down for Thanksgiving and what have you. All right, anybody else? Y'all all knew Gano had already moved down here, hadn't you? For a while with us. Yeah. She's over there. She's over there. Do what?
You doing well?
Well, there she is right there. She's over there. Say hi, Gano. Hi, Gano. Amen. She's over in the compound, and over in the compound, them women are just like a bunch of setting hens. They just fog around her, you know, and they love on her and what have you. There you go, look, Judy. Not the compound. What do you call that place? Y'all call it a circle or something, don't you?
Family circle.
Okay, family circle. They say that sounds better than compound. I don't know. Just easy for me to say compound. But family circle does sound better. Praise God. All right. Anyone else? Okay, I guess we'll get started on the Shepherd Songs. Okie dokie. We're on chapter 10, I believe, aren't we? Boy, this is a good book. Gain old Tracy asked me to send her a copy of it so she can follow along with us when she can. So I did. So maybe she'll be following along with us. Chapter 10, you anoint my head with oil. As one meditates on this magnificent poem, it is helpful to keep in mind that the poet is recounting the salient events of the full year in a sheep's life. He takes us with him from the home ranch, where every need is so carefully supplied by the owner, out into the green pastures, along the still waters, up through the mountain valleys to the high tablelands, lands of summer. Here, now, where it would appear the sheep are in sublime settings on the high meadows, where there are clear running springs, where the forage is fresh and tender, where there is the intimate contact with the shepherd, suddenly we find a fly in the ointment, so to speak. For in the terminology of the sheepman, summertime is fly time. By this reference is made to the hordes of insects that emerge with the advent of warm weather. Only those people who have kept livestock or studied wildlife habitats are aware of the serious problems for animals presented by insects in the summer. To name just a few parasites that trouble stock and make their lives a misery, there are warble flies, butt flies, heel flies, nose or nasal flies, deer flies, black flies, mosquitoes, gnats, and other minute winged parasites that proliferate at this time of year. Their attacks on animals can readily turn the golden summer months into a time of torture for sheep and drive them almost to distraction. Sheep are especially troubled by the nose fly, or nasal fly, as it is sometimes called. These little flies buzz about the sheep's head, attempting to deposit their eggs on the damp mucous membranes of the sheep's nose. If they are successful, the eggs will hatch in a few days to form small, slender, worm-like larvae. They work their way up the nasal passages into the sheep's head. They burrow into the flesh, and there set up an intense irritation accompanied by severe inflammation. For relief from this agonizing annoyance, sheep will deliberately beat their head against trees, rocks, posts, or brush. They will rub them in the soil and thrash around against woody growth. In extreme cases of intense infestation, a sheep might even kill itself in a frenzied endeavor to gain respite from the aggravation. Often, advanced stages of infection from these flies will lead to blindness. And because of all of this, when the nose flies hover around the flock, some of the sheep become frantic with fear and panic in their attempt to escape their tormentors. They will stamp their feet erratically, and wraith from place to place in the pasture, trying desperately to elude the flies. Some may run so much they will drop from sheer exhaustion. Others may toss their heads up and down for hours. They will hide in any bush or woodland that offers shelter. On some occasions, they may refuse to graze in the open at all. All this excitement and distraction has a devastating effect on the entire flock. Ewes and lambs rapidly lose condition and begin to drop in weight. The ewes will go off milking and their lamb will stop growing gainfully. Some sheep will be injured in the headlong rushes of panic. Others may be blinded, and some even killed outright. Only the strictest attention to the behavior of the sheep by the shepherd can forestall the difficulties of fly time. At the very first sign of flies among the flock, he will apply an antidote to their heads. I always preferred to use a homemade remedy composed of linseed oil, sulfur, and tar, which was smeared over the sheep's nose and head as a protection against nose flies. What an incredible transformation this would make among the sheep. And once the oil had been applied to the sheep's head, there was an immediate change in behavior. Gone was the aggravation, gone the frenzy, gone the irritability and the restlessness. Instead, the sheep would start to feed quietly again, and then soon lie down in peaceful contentment. Hey, Tim, can you tell us something about them flies or Gaynold?
Well, I could tell you a little about them. We had them, they would drive the sheep crazy. They just hover around their face, and the sheep couldn't, you know, their tail isn't long enough to do anything about it. Their ears would flop trying to, but wouldn't reach their nose or their face, but we would spray them with a chemical, primethasone, I think is what they called it, something like that. And the thing I was thinking of is both Mr. Keller and Michael are relating to this, is that even though this was the very best thing that could happen to those sheep while they're being tormented, they ran from it. They did not want anything to do with, I put it in a pump up sprayer and spray them down around their heads, and you put it down their back and the primethasone would kill the fly. They saw that sprayer, and even though it was going to bring them relief within about a day and a half, they would just absolutely do anything they could, even sometimes hurt themselves trying to get away from the mean old guy with the sprayer. And so it's kind of like people, you know, that the Lord's watching out for us, but sometimes we don't know what's good for us. We're trying to get away from it. But once they got relief, they were a completely different creature. They're calm, and the flies would go away, and they were happy again. But you could just see it, you know, in a matter of days, they would go from being calm sheep to completely the whole herd to be out of control with those flies in their face. The main thing was that they would try to get away from the cure because they were afraid of it, the unknown, I guess. But this reminded me a lot of the way some people are.
Okay. Well, what I'm seeing here, now I don't know if there's a difference here, but it looks as if he hand smears over the sheep's nose and head. Now, I don't know if that does a better way of doing it. I don't know. I don't know about it.
I just use the sprayer because I get him in the morning before I let him out, and then I just I go into the pen, and I had to put food coloring in the sprayer so I could tell which sheep I got and how much they got on.
Okay. Well, that's a good idea.
I could lose track of which ones got it and which ones didn't.
Amen. What color did you paint them? Any color you wanted to?
I usually went for blue or green food coloring because it showed up the best on the white wool.
Oh, okay. Put red and it'd be pink, wouldn't it? Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, it's funny he brought up gnats, you know, those little small, annoying, pesky little things, because, working around in the warehouse there with dog food and all that, I run into them things all the time. We get gnats everywhere. They fly around. He's right. They are annoying. I'll be driving around on my forklift and they try to fly and hit me in the face. They try to fly in my nose sometimes. They are annoying. So even though I'm not a sheep, as a human, they're around there. And then you get the maggots and all that good stuff and the bad ones. But yeah, the gnats, I know all about that. So you don't have to be a sheep to know.
Hey, Tim, you still got that sprayer handy?
Yes.
Can
you help me, brother?
Spray Joe down. Spray him down, man.
Yes. I could use some help, brother.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I know what you mean about those gnats. We had those deer flies around there. Deer flies, to me, are the worst ones. We call them something else. I can't remember what it is. Those deer flies, they'll bite the fool out of you.
Horse flies?
Nope.
Oh, nope. I hate this.
No, deer fly is different. It's a lot smaller than a horse fly, and they bite a whole lot harder than a horse fly. They're a little old triangular-looking thing. And one time I was working in a rice field next to some woods, and then thing got back on the backside of that 40-acre field, and them things attacked me and started biting on me. And I just left everything and went to the truck and went to town, got me some deep woods and put that on me and got out there. Now, they didn't bother me, but I got back there, and I had this was a long time ago, I had a reaction to that deep woods because I put so much on. I did almost like Tim did to them sheep. I just sprayed myself, because them things about the fool out of you, man. It bite through a shirt. Anyway, I almost didn't get out of there. But the Lord was gracious.
I went for a bike ride once, and it was like wooded area, being out in the woods, but not, I wasn't in the woods yet. I was on a highway road, and I seen a nice little trail going into the woods. I thought, well, I'll ride in there. I got probably maybe about 10, 15 feet in there, and all of a sudden I got attacked for those things because I was sweaty. Oh my God, man, I rode out of there so fast. I got the bike and I threw it from me just to get these things off me because I was just trying to get my hands off my body. So I start slapping those things off. Oh my gosh. Talk about miserable pain, man. They're on there right now drawing blood from me when they bite.
Yeah, they will. They're pretty tough. All right, anybody else? We'll just all have to get us a big old 1,000-gallon sprayer and just spray everybody down for summertime. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Mr. What's his name? Heller? Keller. Mr. Keller says, "This to me is the exact picture of irritations in my own life. How easy it is for there to be a fly in the ointment of even my most lofty spiritual experience. So often, it is the small, petty annoyances that ruin my repose. It is the niggling distractions that become burning issues that can well nigh drive me around the bend or up the wall. At times, some tiny tantalizing thing torments me to the point where I feel I am just beating my brains out. And so my behavior as a child of God degenerates to a most disgraceful sort of a frustrated tirade. Just as with the sheep, there must be continuous and renewed application of all to forestall the flies in my life. There must be a continuous anointing of God's gracious spirit to counteract the ever-present aggravations of personality conflicts. Only one application of oil, sulfur, and tar was not enough for the entire summer. It was a process that had to be repeated. The fresh application was the effective antidote. And there are those who contend that in the Christian life, One need only have a single initial anointing of God's Spirit. Yet, the frustrations of daily dilemmas demonstrate that one must have him come continuously to the troubled mind and heart to counteract the attacks of one's tormentors. This is a practical and intimate matter between myself and my master. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 13, Christ himself, our shepherd, urges us to ask for the Holy Spirit to be given to us by the Father. Has anybody got anything they'd like to comment on that? I know nobody ever just messes up, do they? And loses it. Yeah, Sue.
Two things that came to my mind. Little boxes spoil the vine. But you were saying earlier that we need to stay filled in the Spirit every morning. And that's when that's when the frustrations can come in and irritate us and cause trouble in our lives. If we don't get the oil every morning from the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. That's all.
All right. That's true. Need to seek the Lord and get that personal filling every morning. Oh, Judy, you just lost it, girl. All right. Anybody else? It is both a logical and legitimate desire for us to have the daily anointing of God's gracious Spirit upon our minds. God alone can form in us the mind of Christ. The Holy Spirit alone can give to us the attitude of Christ. He alone makes it possible for us to react to aggravations and annoyances with quietness and calmness. When people or circumstances or events beyond our control tend to bug us, it's possible to be content and serene when these outside forces are counteracted by the presence of God's Spirit. In Romans 8, verses 1 and 2, we're told plainly that it is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that makes us free from the law of sin and death. Amen. It is this daily anointing of God's gracious Spirit upon my mind which produces in my life such personality traits as joy, contentment, love, patience, gentleness, and peace. What I contrast this is to the tempers, frustrations, and irritableness which mar the daily conduct of so many of God's children. Anybody got any comments?
Yep, I was thinking of John G. Lake when you said that. That was his saying. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes us free from the law of sin and of death so that no plague could bother him.
Amen. Yep, that's what he told him when he was out there doing the bubonic, one of them plagues. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, one thing that comes to my mind, too, is where he says it is a daily anointing of God's gracious Spirit upon our mind, which produces in my life such personality traits as joy, contentment, blah, 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 you know, and it's like, okay, yeah, we need to ask the Lord to anoint us with the Spirit, give us a fresh anointing every day, but also I think what gives us that anointing, too, and facilitates also, having this renewed mind is kind of like what he's talking about there. And always, we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. We have to be in the Word too. To think that only the being filled with the Spirit every day is going to help you with that, I think I think being filled with the Spirit will give you a greater desire and want to be in the Word. But, you know, it's like David says, you know, you can be filled with the Spirit. There's a lot of Christians that are filled with the Spirit, but they're not obeying the Spirit too, you know. Mm-hmm. Just because you're filled with the Spirit doesn't mean that, you know, you're just you're fine, you know. Are you obeying the Spirit? That's just some thoughts that come to me.
Yeah. Well, let me reiterate what I was talking about then. To be filled with the Spirit every morning when you pray, you know, getting up in the morning, ask the Lord. It's what I do. I get in the Word after I do this, because you need that wisdom of the Spirit to even get in the Word and get those revelations, you know. And that's right. What I'm talking about. It's just every day.
I know, but I was referring more to what he was saying there. I was just adding that I think getting in the Word is important too. You know, he was saying about daily anointing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You
know, and he was saying about upon our mind, which produces in my life such personality traits as all these, but it's God's Word, being in His Word too, that produces those.
Amen.
Which is the Spirit, so.
Yeah. Okay, let's see what it says here. What I do in any given situation is to expose it to my master, my owner, Christ Jesus, and say simply, "Oh Lord, I can't cope with these petty, annoying, peevish problems. Please apply the oil of your Spirit to my mind, both at the conscious and subconscious levels of my thought life. Enable me to act and react just as you would." And he will. It will surprise you how promptly he complies with such a request made in deadly earnest. But summertime for the sheep is more than just fly time. It is also scab time. All right, getting into the scabs now. Thank you, Lord. Scab is an irritating and highly contagious disease common among sheep the world over, caused by a minute microscopic parasite that proliferates in warm weather. Scab spreads throughout a flock by direct contact between infected and non-infected animals. Sheep love to rub heads in an affectionate and friendly manner. Scab is most commonly found around the head. When two sheep rub together, the infection spreads rapidly or readily from one to the other. Y'all give me a minute here. Get that fan going. In the Old Testament, when it was declared that the sacrificial lambs should be without blemish, the thought uppermost in the writer's mind was that the animal should be free of scab. In a very real and direct sense, scab is significant of contamination, of sin of evil. Again, as with flies, the only effective antidote is to apply linseed oil, sulfur, and other chemicals that could control this disease. In many sheep rearing countries, dips are built in the entire flock. It's put through the dip. Each animal is completely submerged in the solution until its entire body is soaked. The most difficult part to do is the head. The head has to be plunged under repeatedly to ensure that scab there will be controlled. Some sheepmen take great care to treat the head by hand. And of course, I have to ask him, is that something y'all did, was do those sheep like that, had to dip them?
Well, the key to the whole that scab thing was it thrives in warm climates, and you know I didn't come from a warm place. So we never had any scab, and we never had any method or any need to dip the whole sheep. So I can't really answer that. Never had to deal with it.
Okay, well, that's good. That's why you're down here now. It gets warm down here, praise the Lord. Okay, well, I know at times when we have some cattle that we had to either dip them or spray them in the summertime because of the flies. And we did that sometimes. We did horses the same way. We'd dip them or spray them. Most of the time we just sprayed them. Or,
oh, you did?
Huh?
That must have been a really big container.
No, what you do, you have a, we had a hole in the ground. We filled it up and run them through it. We did it the easy way. Put a tarp under there and let them run through it. Most of the time, we just spray them. Put them in a cattle guard and run them in there single, one at a time, and then spray, have someone on both sides spray it. That's generally the way you did. We dipped our dogs too. Anybody ever dipped their dogs for ticks and
you breathing stuff too?
Well, sure, it didn't bother. Impervious to chemicals, Dave. Didn't you know that? We didn't think about it back then. It wasn't a big deal. I'm talking 40, 50 years ago. Well, hey, Angelica, good you could join us. But anyway, the scab you didn't have up there, Tim, right? You didn't have any scab, which is eliminates all that business. That's good. Okay, he says, where did I leave off? Only once, is that where I am? Okay. Only once did my sheep become infected by scab. I had purchased a few extra ewes from another rancher to increase the flock. It so happened they had, unknown to me, a slight infection of scab, which quickly began to spread through the entire healthy flock. It meant I had to purchase a huge dipping tank and install it in my corrals, at great expense, to say nothing of the time and heavy labor involved. I had to put the entire flock one by one through the dipping solution to clear them of the disease. It was a tremendous task and one that had entailed special attention to their heads. So I know precisely what David meant when he wrote, "You anoint my head with oil." Again, it was the only antidote for scab. Perhaps it should be mentioned that in Palestine, the old remedy for this disease was olive oil mixed with sulfur and spices. This home remedy served equally well in the case of flies that came to annoy the flocks. In the Christian life, most of our contamination by the world, by sin, by that which would defile and disease us spiritually, comes through our minds. It is a case of mind meeting mind to transmit ideas, concepts, and attitudes that may be damaging. Often it is when we get our heads together with someone else who may not necessarily have the mind of Christ that we come away imbued with concepts that are not Christian. Our thoughts, our ideas, our emotions, our choices, our impulses, drives, and desires are all shaped and molded through the exposure of our minds to other people's minds. In our modern era of mass communication, the danger of the mass mind grows increasingly grave. Now I'm on page 104 at the top. Young people in particular, whose minds are so malleable, find themselves being molded under the subtle pressures and impacts made on them by television, radio, magazines, newspapers, and fellow classmates, to say nothing of their parents and teachers. How many of you know that you can be influenced by the world? You know, I know from my experience, making a trip to Arkansas and coming back drops me back a few steps. Because you're always around worldly people. You're not around godly people. You're around worldly people. And you have to be very careful how much of that you receive from them, you know. That's my experience with it anyway. Anybody else? Often the mass media that are largely responsible for shaping our minds are in control of men whose character is not Christ-like, who in some cases are actually anti-Christian. You know, you can watch TV, and I'm telling you what, you can almost see the demons coming out of that thing, just pouring out of it. It's pretty neat. It's pretty bad. Pretty bad. One cannot be exposed to such contacts without coming away contaminated. Amen. The thought patterns of people are becoming increasingly abhorrent. Today we find more tendency to violence, hatred, prejudice, greed, cynicism, and increasing disrespect for that which is noble, fine, pure, or beautiful. This is precisely the opposite of what Scripture teaches us. In Philippians 4:8, we are instructed emphatically in this matter. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Here again, the only possible practical path to attaining such a mind free of the world's contamination is to be conscious daily, hourly, of the purging presence of God's Holy Spirit applying Him to my mind. Amen. Anybody got any comments? Any comments? Hi, Andrew.
Hey, yeah. You know, the word discipleship, a learner and a follower. You know, I was comparing that to our new covenant, where you, in Hebrews 8:8 down to the end of 8, there's the new covenant there. And it talks about loving the Lord your God with all your mind and with all your heart. And if you compare that discipleship to that, you know, to love the Lord with your whole mind would be your learning. And then the following of that is in your heart, just like it says, if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart, you shall be saved. So it's how the covenant collates with the two agapes, one with your mind and with your heart. That's something the Lord was discussing with me the other day. Anyway, praise God.
Amen. Anybody else? Angelica says, 3 John 1:11. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Dave says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Evil companionship corrupt good morals. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Those are good scriptures. There are those who seem unable to realize his control of their minds and thoughts. It is a simple matter of faith and acceptance. Just as one asked Christ to come into the life initially to assure complete control of one's conduct, someone invites the Holy Spirit to come into one's conscious and subconscious mind to monitor one's thought life. Just as by faith we believe and know and accept and thank Christ for coming into our lives, so by simple faith and confidence in the same Christ, we believe and know and accept with thanks the coming or anointing of His gracious Spirit upon our minds. Then having done this, we simply proceed to live and act and think as He directs us. Anybody got any comments? Yeah, Tim.
I was thinking, you know, back there a little bit, even after the ointment's applied, you know, and we're, you know, got the, asked for the Spirit and received it and stuff like that, the flies still come around and they can still cause an aggravation, you know, in our lives and actually, you know, cause bad reactions in the way we deal with ourselves and with others and even, you know, our life with the Lord. But they're not near as intense, and we have got some relief, but we still have to take God's grace, you know, and overcome the aggravations, at least the bad effects of being aggravated, you know, by the flies that are out of our control and that the ointment isn't working on that day. And I just I wanted to relate that a little bit.
Amen.
Yeah, I was going to agree with Tim on that, because sometimes, even though we're walking with Christ and we're abiding with Christ, sometimes Satan still comes in and puts those thoughts in your head or gets you someplace where you don't want to go. And then you're in this battle. Maybe you gave it a little time and thought about it, whatever it was. And now those demons are around you and they're circling and they're trying to bombard you with their head. So you have to take up that sword and you're fighting them off. You're not receiving what they have to say and you're rebuking them. I mean, you still have to go through these battles. And it's not uncommon, but that's one way too. It gives you your faith and understanding of your authority in this world over Satan and his dominion that he doesn't have. But we still have to take up that battle and we still have to fight it. And that's our argument. We got to stand on the promises of God and the Word of God, and believe that what He gave us that authority over these things. And so sometimes we feel like we're getting oppressed and we can't handle it, or something might be, you know, we feel like we're getting a lot out of place and, well, why is this happening? But God's given us that battle so we can win it, so we understand we can overcome these things. And maybe it may not happen right away, but we have to stand our ground and not let it overcome us too. So those things come in our mind. That does. That's where the attack comes. It comes inside of our mind. We have to realize that's where the battle is always going to be at sometimes. It's not necessarily always our what we experience. It's what Satan can throw at us, and of whether or not we're giving it time in our head and have him try to control and lead us and direct us. So we have to have that ability to take control of that and not let it direct us, you know.
Amen.
Word of God, and believe that and know that the Holy Spirit's on our side to help us fight that battle.
Amen. The difficulty is that some of us are not in dead earnest about it. Go ahead, Tim. Did you have something?
I was just thinking, as Dave was saying that I kind of lost my train of thought there. I was distracted a little bit, but that if we're trying to do it ourselves, you know, that the ointment be as effective as if we are able to enter into the rest and remember that God's in control and God's got a hold of this. But a lot of times when those flies start circling around, or the aggravations or the enemy, we try and do it ourselves, and then that ointment isn't going to have that effect for us.
Amen. Got to get out of self and let the Lord do it. That's right. Anybody else?
Yeah, I actually just had, before I got on the phone, faction attack. It was just kind of just all the, you know, actually started last night. And, you know, and I just, I'm like, I'm not going to meditate on this. This is just ridiculous, you know, and just, and so I just felt like, okay, I'm not in agreement with that. And then today it just hit me harder. And it was like, but the great thing was that I recognized what it was. And then I recognized my son was kind of aggravated too. And I was like, oh my God, like, this is the devil. And I'm like, Lord, you know, I'm not in agreement with this. And I just prayed about it. And I said, Lord, I would really like to enjoy some dinner with my son and have good fellowship with him, Lord. So just please just remove this from us. You know, I'm not in agreement with it. And, you know, and you know, prayed, you know, what was on my heart. And it just lifted. And it was like, it was all good, you know. But it was like, I wish I had more opportunities like that where I just immediately recognized it instead of just sort of easily slipping into the flesh, like if it's mine, you know, like if it's a glove and it's just, this is just normal, you know, like, no, that's not, I shouldn't be that way. You know, I shouldn't just be easily aggravated or whatever. And so anyway, I just praise God for that. But I was looking up right now and y'all probably already mentioned this, but you know, it says olive oil is a natural preservative that prevents spoilage by isolating the food from air, providing a seal that can delay oxidation, deterioration, and molding. So I think that's amazing because, you know, the Lord anoints our head and he's preserving the mind of Christ, you know, from this world and its thinking. And so, you know, I just thought that was pretty cool.
Cool. Yeah. Does that mean I can put olive oil on bologna and it'll last a lot longer? No. Okay. All right, continuing on here. The difficulty is that some of us are not in dead earnest about it. Like a stubborn sheep, we'll struggle, kick, and protest when the master puts his hand upon us for this purpose. Even if it is for our own good, we still rebel and refuse to have him help us when we need it so desperately. In a sense, we are a stiff-necked lot, and were it not for Christ's continuing compassion and concern for us, most of us would be beyond hope or help. Sometimes, I'm quite sure, Christ comes to us and applies the oil of his own spirit to our minds in spite of our own objections. Were this not so, where would most of us be? Surely every gracious thought that enters my mind had its origin in him. Now, as summer in the high country moves gradually into autumn, subtle changes occur both in the countryside and in the sheep. The nights become cooler. There are the first touches of frost. The insects begin to disappear and are less a pest. The foliage on the hills turns to crimson, gold, and bronze. Mist and rain begin to fall, and the earth prepares for winter. In the flock, there are also subtle changes. This is the season of the rut, of mating, of great battles between the rams for possession of the ewes. The necks of the monarchs swell and they grow strong. They strut proudly across the pastures and fight furiously for the favors of the ewes. The crash of heads and thud of colliding bodies can be heard through the hours of day and night. The shepherd knows all about this. He knows that some of the sheep can and will actually kill, injure, and maim each other in these deadly combats. So he decides on a very simple remedy. At this season of the year, he will catch his rams, smear their heads with grease. I used to apply generous quantities of axle grease to the head and nose of each ram. And then, when they collided in their great crashing battles, that lubricant would make them glance off each other in a ludicrous way that they stood there feeling rather stupid and frustrated. In this way, much of the heat and tension was dissipated and little damage done. Well, that begs another question, Tim. Is that what you did? Do you have to graze your head to keep them from killing one another?
No, I like I said many times, I wish I'd read this book when I had sheep, because I wasn't smart enough to come up with that. We just would, we let a couple of, we only had two rams at the most at one time, but we had this one big one, and he was headbutting his dad, who had a, like a curl and a half, a horn, and he hit him so hard, he knocked the horn off, of one horn off of this poor ram, and, but generally, we just kept them isolated. We just lock one of them up, and that way they couldn't get at each other. But it was incredible to hit that, you know, to knock that horn off that head of that sheep was, had to be an awesome hit. And the guy that got hit, he was just laying there, and I actually stopped what I was doing and dug a hole because I figured he was dead. And after about 4 hours, I went and tried to stand him up, and he was able to wobble around, and he didn't die. He lasted another probably another year and a half after that with one horn on and one horn off.
Yeah, I can imagine. My goodness. Well, next time you get some sheep, Tim, get you some axle grease. That sounds right. It's what you need to do. Gato, did y'all have that problem up there with y'all's bunch of sheep? That Marlon go out there and grease the heads of those sheep?
Okay. No, we didn't.
Rams.
We only had one ram, so we didn't have that problem.
Okay, well, praise the Lord. He had his own harem, didn't he? Praise the Lord. Okay. Among God's people, there is a considerable amount of knocking each other. Somehow, if we don't see eye to eye with the other person, we persist in trying to assert ourselves and become top sheep. A good many become badly bruised and hurt this way. Yeah, they do. In fact, I found as a pastor that much of the grief, the wounds, the hurts, the ill will, the unforgiven things in people's lives could usually be traced back to old rivalries or jealousies or battles that had broken out between believers. Scores of skeptical souls will never enter a church simply because way back in their experience, someone had battered them badly. To forestall and prevent this sort of thing from happening among his people, our shepherd loves to apply the precious ointment of the presence of his gracious spirit to our lives. It will be recalled that just before his crucifixion, our Lord, in dealing with his 12 disciples, who even then were caught up in jealous bickering and rivalry for prestige, told of the coming of the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth. Because of his being sent to them, he said they would know peace. And he went on to say that his people would be known everywhere for their love for one another. But too often, this simply is not true among God's own people. They hammer and knock each other stiff-necked with pride and self-assertion. They are intolerant, dogmatic, and uncharitable with other Christians. Yet, when the gracious Holy Spirit invades a man or woman, when he enters that life and is in control of the personality, the attributes of peace, joy, long-suffering, and generosity become apparent. It is then that suddenly one becomes aware of how ridiculous are all the petty jealousies, rivalries, and animosities that formerly motivated their absurd assertions. This is to come to a place of great contentment in the shepherd's care. And it is then that the cup of contentment becomes real in the life. As the children of God, the sheep in the divine shepherd's care, we should be known as the most contented people on earth. A quiet, restful contentment should be the hallmark of those who call Christ their master. Oh, praise be to the Lord. If he is the one who has all knowledge and wisdom and understanding of my affairs and management, sovereign God. If he is able to cope with every situation, good or bad, that I can that I encounter, then surely I should be satisfied with his care. In a wonderful way, my cup or my lot in life is a happy one that overflows with benefits of all sorts. Has anybody got any comments? The trouble is that most of us just don't see it this way, especially when troubles or disappointments come along. We are apt to feel forgotten by our shepherd. We act as though he had fallen down on the job. Actually, he's never slept asleep. He is never lax or careless. He is never indifferent to our well-being. Our shepherd always has our best interest in mind. Well, that puts a piece in your shirt that he's always got our well-being in mind and interest. Because of this, we are actually under obligation to be a thankful, grateful, appreciative people. The New Testament instructs us clearly to grasp the idea that the cup of our life is full and overflowing with good, with the life of Christ himself, and with the presence of his gracious Spirit. And because of this, we should be joyous, grateful, and serene. And I know everybody on here is grateful, joyous, and serene. Praise God. You know, we are, I can tell you this much, we all are a whole lot better now than we were years ago. We have come to where a lot of things don't bother us anymore. And we're working on those other things. Praise God. This is, y'all agree with me for a minute, will you? I command this infirmity off of me in the name of Jesus. I command you to go. I command all of your symptoms to go in Jesus' name. You go from me in Jesus' name. Y'all believe it? Amen. If so, thank you, Jesus. This is the overcoming Christian life. It is the life in which a Christian can be content with whatever comes his way. Hebrews 13:5, even trouble. Excuse me. Most of us are glad when things go well. How many of us can give thanks and praise when things go wrong? God's going to get my praise. You know, that's what we got to do. When the bad times come, you got to sing that song. Looking again at the round of the year through which the sheep pass in the shepherd's care, we see summer moving into autumn. Storms of sleet and hail and early snow, oh, praise God, we didn't got that, began to sweep over the high country. Soon the flocks will be driven from the upland and tablelands. They will turn again toward the home ranch for the long, quiet winter season. These autumn days can be golden under Indian summer weather. The sheep have respite now from flies and insects and scab. No other season finds them so fit and well and strong. No wonder David wrote, "My cup overflows." But at the same time, unexpected blizzards can blow up or sleet storms suddenly shroud the hills. The flock and their owner can pass through appalling suffering together. It is here that I grasp another aspect altogether of the meaning of a cup that overflows. There is in every life a cup of suffering. Jesus Christ referred to his agony in the Garden of Gethsemane and at Calvary as his cup. And had it not overflowed with his life poured out for men, we would have perished. In rending my sheep, I carried a bottle in my pocket containing a mixture of brandy and water. Whenever a ewe or lamb was chilled from undue exposure to wet, cold weather, I'd pour a few spoonfuls down its throat. and in a matter of minutes, the chilled creature would be on its feet and full of renewed energy. It was especially cute the way the lambs would wiggle their tails with joyous excitement as the warmth from the brandy spread through their bodies. The important thing was for me to be there on time to find the frozen, chilled sheep before it was too late. Hey, Tim, did you ever give them any liquor while they was cold?
No, but the shepherd got some.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I can imagine. Oh, my. We're going to have to tell Casey to get that out of there, Marilyn. I had to be in the... Yeah, I can see Tim now. Well, I really need to take this out there and warm those sheep up. I'll be back tomorrow afternoon sometime. Oh, my. Oh, help me, Jesus. I had to be in the storm with them, alert to everyone that was in distress. Some of the most vivid memories of my sheep ranching days are wrapped around the awful storms my flock and I went through together. I can see again the gray black banks of storm clouds sweeping in off the sea. I can see the sleet and hail and snow sweeping across the hills. I can see the sheep racing for shelter in the tall timber. I can see them standing there soaked, chilled and dejected. Especially the young lambs went through appalling misery without the benefit of a full, heavy fleece to protect them. Some would succumb and lie down in distress, only to become more cramped and chilled. And then it was that my mixture of brandy and water came to their rescue. Yeah, I can see Tim. Here's one for you, two for me. One for you, two for me, you know. I'm sure the Palestine shepherds must have likewise shared their wine with their chilled and frozen sheep. Oh, yes, Lord and God. What a picture of my master sharing the wine, the very lifeblood of his own suffering from his overflowing cup, poured out at Calvary for me. He is there with me in every storm. My shepherd is alert to every approaching disaster that threatens his people. He has been through the storms of suffering before. He bore our sorrows and was acquainted with our grief. And now, no matter what storms I face, his very life and strength and vitality is poured into mine. It overflows so the cup of my life runs over with his life, offered with great blessing and benefit to others who see me stand up so well in the midst of trials and suffering. Well, that's another good chapter. Anybody got any comments on this chapter? Any aspect of it?
I see you said you're a pastor. That's interesting. I didn't know that. But it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
Well, I like the ending there that, you know, that in the difficulties and in the storms and stuff, that, you know, for us, even though we don't see the Good Shepherd is there with, he is carrying our difficulties and the cold, the storms and the, you know, frostbite or whatever, you know, whatever we're enduring, he's right there with us. And that's a real good point I like about that book.
Amen. I like the parallels he does with it. I didn't know anything about a sheep until we started reading this book. I knew that I liked them, you know, on the table. But I didn't know anything about how to handle them or anything. I didn't know hands-on they were. They quite hands-on, it looks like, you know, to be taken care of. And that's what God does with us. He's a hands-on God. Yeah, Leon.
I want to tell you a little story about my mother. She was an evangelist. You know, if you were with her for 5 minutes, you knew that she loved the Lord, and she was trying to explain to you why it's such a good thing to get a life with Jesus, you know. So, but anyway, she had a bad knee, and she didn't want to go with surgery or anything like that. So she had a home remedy, which was gin and raisins. Now, I don't know if it ever helped her, but we always told her she was a closet alcoholic.
Had fun with the raisins, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. But okay. it was like brandy that he was talking about in his pocket. She always had this. And she would be nipping on it all the time.
Oh, my.
We'd be accusing her of that kind of stuff. But we'd just laugh about stuff. You know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I have a testimony that is out of this world. I'm talking about out of this world. Now, Denny and Debbie and Leon, you and Tim, you would appreciate, and Anna, you would appreciate, and Angelica, you will appreciate this. Last night, as I was praying, I prayed to the Lord that somebody would make a Cairo pecan pie for Thanksgiving. Y'all remember that? that the Lord would have somebody make a Cairo pecan pie. Well, I got home, and this morning, y'all won't believe what came in the mail. Came in the mail, pecan pies, two of them, in the mail. I'm telling you, when y'all get over in the morning, I'm going to show it to you. It came in the mail, two pecan pies. That's how much God loves me. Glory to God, I'm telling you the truth.
Are you sure they're going to last that long?
No, Angelica. As a matter of fact, Dave and I ate half of one of them tonight. So I don't know if it's going to make it to Thursday or not, but I did have
take
to
a picture. Take a picture.
I know. It was awesome. I said, David, look at here. Somebody sent us two pecan pies. He said, no. I said, yeah. It was in it. Oh, my. I tell you, Lord is so good. Mm-hmm. Never in my life.
That two people are bringing you pecan pies on Thursday. So.
Oh, yeah?
Again. Yeah.
Okay, so we can go ahead and eat these, huh? If you want. Okay. Well, praise God. That sounds good. Now, I don't say those things to make somebody do that. Y'all want y'all to know that. I do it just. Dave shaking, yeah, okay, I hear you.
Yes, you do, Michael.
I don't, Leon, I know.
That's all right.
Yeah. Well, to me, on Thanksgiving, Cairo pecan pies are the best. And the day after, and the day after that, and the day after that. I love Cairo pecan pie.
Cornbread stuffing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, cornbread. Cornbread dressing. Cornbread dressing.
Yep.
That's what I like. Now, mother used to make, when I was a kid, mother used to make two pans of dressing. One of them was just dressing, cornbread dressing, and the other one was for me and my dad. Me and my dad like cornbread dressing and oysters. Oysters put in the dressing. Y'all probably never heard of that. That's just an Arkansas thing. It's good.
That sounds good if they're fried.
No, they're not fried. They're baked, isn't it?
Oh, okay.
Mother used to make it for Dad now. All right. Anybody got anything else on the Shepherd of Psalms 23? What an awesome book.
was just thinking about the tonic that he carried, you know, when the sheep got cold, that he anticipated their needs, and, you know, they didn't know what they wanted or what they needed, but the good shepherd had to, you know, get them. Now, sorry to give up. There was the what it took to get them up and get them moving. And so that was, you know, another parallel there I like.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, Leah.
Hey, I just wanted to tell you that when my mother died, she left a half pint of gin. I got it in my sock drawer. I haven't opened it yet.
I ain't going to say what's going through my mind right now.
She died Lord in 2006.
Oh, God. Leah.
I'm saving it for a special occasion.
All right. What?
You ain't got no excuse, Brother Leon. You believe in healing, divine healing.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I got a knee replacement too. So if it got hurt, I might try her raisin and gin tonic.
Yeah. Well, you have to pour the gin on the knee. That's what you have to do.
Oh, okay.
No, Tim said, no, that ain't right. Okay. Well, praise God. All right. Has anybody got anything else? We got some time left. Sue says, I have. Look at me. I've got my hand up. Go ahead, Sue.
That part about going through the storm reminded me of a song I had years ago. I'll try to sing it.
All right.
Now it's left. Lord Jesus. I will rise above the storm with the Lord in my arms. I will rise above the storms of my enemies. I will take the shield of faith and quench the darts that come my way. I will rise above the storm of my enemies. I will rise above the storm with the Lord in my arms. I will rise against the storm of my enemies. I will fight this holy war because I know my Lord God cares. I will fight this holy war with the word of God. That's how it is.
Amen. Judy, you and Gaino need to help her out a little bit there. Man. Come on.
Well, I was waiting on
the game.
I don't know it.
I,
yeah.
Okay. All right. Amen. I never heard that, but I like it.
Gaynon, how many sheep did you guys take care of?
Okay. We lambed out 400 one year. It was too many.
Good gracious, that was 395 too many, wasn't it?
It was a lot.
Oh, I can imagine. My gracious.
Man, you only had one ram?
Yeah, he was busy.
That wasn't the ram. The ram was when I was a child, when we had sheep at home and we had less sheep. But when Marlon and I had sheep, we had 400. We bought them and we lambed them out, and it was a really big job, and at the end of that year, we got rid of all of them.
Okay. Oh, you just fed out lambs? That's what you did?
Well, we ended up with a lot of bottle lambs, and which kept us very, very busy. We had to feed them every 4 hours around the clock. We had like 50 some.
Wow.
And we ended up advertising for them, and people bought them really quickly, and that solved our problem. Gave us some time.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Okay, Missy. Okay. Missy, you want us to pray with you? You want to pray? Okay. Me? Okay. All right. You got the volume down? Missy said, please agree with me that spirits of disrespect, rebellion, rejection would be bound in Alex while he's home and that he would repent. Okay, well, Father, we just ask that in the name of Jesus that you send out your holy angels out there to Alex right now to bind up those rebellious spirits, those spirits of rejection, and those spirits of disrespect in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for granting repentance to Alex. And Lord, we ask that you touch him in a mighty way. Put the fear of God all over that boy. And Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, this is going to be a turning around for Alex in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that this is going to be an awesome time with Missy and Merle while he's home in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.
We did something special for him, and he kind of came home in a whirlwind, and we didn't, you know, I just remembered that we didn't give it to him. His birthday was on the 17th, and he just came home in a whirlwind and ate and went up in his room, and, you know, so I'm really praying that this really touches his heart, and that it just brings down walls.
Amen.
And in the name of Jesus, we just command hurt, resentment, anger, unforgiveness to go from Alex. Amen. We command these walls to come down, and that Alex's heart would be greatly touched, and he would see that we love him, that we would do this, this special thing for him, Lord. And we just, I just praise you and thank you, Lord, for seeing a turnabout in Alex. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let this be the catalyst, Lord. Let it be the catalyst in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe it. Y'all believe it? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Yeah, Joe. Go ahead, brother.
Well, as we were talking there earlier, I texted my brother. My older brother, Sam, he invited me. Second, because my dad's girlfriend, you know, I'm not really, of course, I'm not really on, you know, communicating with my dad lately, but, you know, she asked me if, you know, I wanted to come Thursday for Thanksgiving, so I just said, okay, or, you know, contact her. I haven't contacted her back and say I won't, but my older brother contacted me. He's been trying to contact me to do something here lately, but, him and his wife, and her, I think most of her family is what he said, so I don't know if my little brother and his wife will be coming. So I'd like prayer for that, you know. Just, you know, of course, grace for me. Because, I mean, it's just, I have, like I said in the past, I have, you know, just those disagreements with his wife. You know, it's those Jezebel spirits and all that stuff, you know. So it's, there'll probably be other Jezebels around and mom and his, you know, my brother's wife's family. So it's, you know, we disagree with the other things. So I think this is, at least on a encouraging note, you know, I think my older brother, the Lord's been working on him. I see it, you know, he's not like the rest of my family to kind of shun me, you know, try to ostracize me. I see a difference in him compared to the others. You know, he's making an effort to try to reconcile with me at least. And he doesn't act like the rest of them. So, I mean, I've been encouraged about that. But I like prayer, you know, for Thursday, just to, you know, grace and all that. So, you know, if anyone wants to pray or if you want to pray, Michael.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. Father, we thank you for doing the work in Joe.
Yep.
That it doesn't make any difference where he goes, Lord, that he's going to show love and respect and appreciation for all of his family, Lord. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, if somebody comes against him in whatever way, he'll just smile and take it and turn the other cheek and show love, nothing but love. And Father, we thank you for this overcoming power of the Holy Spirit to put in Joe, to walk in overcoming power and love of Jesus Christ that would open up his family's eyes to see there's something about Joe that's changed, that he'd see the love of Christ in his heart. And Father, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else? Okay, David.
What's coming to me? again and again here is, after Missy talked, is that love never fails. So, Lord, we just thank you that your word says love never fails, Lord, that you are love, and you'll be seen in Missy and Merle and in Joe. Thank you, Lord. It will do the work, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Missy.
My mom and my sister reiterated this when I talked to her the other day, that we're not, mom and dad didn't push for a get together for Thanksgiving because my dad didn't want one, because, you know, with him not talking and all, and doesn't have the in the natural, doesn't have the ability to play games and stuff, because we'll get together and play games and stuff, and he feels excluded. He goes over over to the house, and he, you know, will sit and watch TV or something. And, you know, I was just really thinking about that, you know, and that's just rejection. And he's got to understand that, I mean, Lord, help him to want to be with us even when we're playing games, and sit and watch us enjoy playing games even if he can't, Lord. I just rebuke that spirit of rejection, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I command that off him. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that when we get together in January, Lord, that his whole attitude and self-pity and all that stuff that the enemy's putting on him about that, it's going to be gone, and that he's going to just be full of joy just to see everybody else there enjoying themselves. And Lord, I ask you that you put in everybody's heart a special effort to try and talk to dad, even though he can't communicate very well himself, Lord, but that everybody would make a special point of talking to him, and that he would make even a special point of letting us all know that he loves us. And I just thank you, Lord, for doing this work in us all. And I just cast down any divisive spirits that are trying to operate in my family, in any of my family, factious spirits, in the name of Jesus. I cast you down. You will not bring division in my family. We all love each other. And I just thank you, Lord, for putting a greater love in our hearts for each other. And for you, in Jesus' name, amen.
Can he play dominoes? No? Okay.
He because his he used to play cards. He used to have a thing to hold cards, but he's not able to concentrate and play right anymore. He's any of those, but you know, I just keep trying to encourage him. I remind him, you know, Dad, you're going to talk again. The Lord's going to restore your health.
Amen. You
know? I said, as well as Mom. So, anyway, so, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hey, Merle.
Hey.
How's it going, buddy?
Okay, how you doing?
I am blessed beyond my wildest dream, brother.
All right, good job.
Hey, man, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Hey, Merle.
Hey.
Leon.
Hey, guys.
Good to see you, too.
Yeah, good to see you.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, you too. We have a lot to be thankful for.
Yes, amen. That's true. Very true.
That's right.
Amen. You're retired again.
Again, yes.
Good move, buddy.
All right.
I don't ever retire or just quit this one.
Come down here closer. Look, see what he's got on his lip there?
I fixed to say, she's been working on you while you're asleep with a black magic marker.
No, this is the color it is.
Really?
Yeah, when I had it awesome. A long time ago, it was more reddish than my hair. I don't know why. But now it's
worst part of your hair.
Yeah. And I have okay. more of it than I have hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, well. I can recommend a good hairstylist for you.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, it's good to see you, brother.
Good to see you, too. Take care.
Okay.
Wait a minute, man.
All right. Ooh. That's good. That's a dried peach. Okay. Well, Father, we just thank you for another good night. We thank you, Father, for your anointing upon everybody to sleep good tonight. Wake up in the morning thankful and just on fire for you, Lord. We thank you for putting a hunger in our hearts for the Word of God and for you, Lord, to get into that Word and get into you. And we just thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that tomorrow is going to be a special day. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for blessing everybody here with everything that they need to get into this special walk that you've got the bride in, Lord. And I thank you for it, in Jesus' name. If there's anything in any of our hearts, Lord, that doesn't need to be there, I'm asking you to reveal it to everybody that needs to be cleansed. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for being our God. We love you, and we ask that you place your love in us to show the world what we're about. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Well, good night, everybody. We get everybody unmuted here.
Good night, y'all.
All right, good night, everybody. God bless.
Good night, everybody.